Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden, and I want to welcome you to episode 184 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? I'm going to start out, it is Monday, it is Memorial Day, and I'm going to start out by honoring the veterans who have served, and even more, the families of the veterans who never came back, who made the ultimate sacrifice and gave their lives, whether it be in war or in peacetime. However, whatever it was, we thank you for your service. I've been lucky enough to have entertained the troops in numerous places around the world. It is always an honor. There's always kind of a mutual respect and a mutual appreciation, because we, the comics, love what they do, and they love us bringing some humor and bringing a taste of the U.S. to them. So definitely sending some love to the veterans and everyone on Memorial Day. Now, that being said, that getting out of the way, let me get into my podcast. My buddy Derek out of Portland, who I love, good friend, he hit me up. He said, "Man, why are the podcasts getting short? Why aren't you talking longer? Why aren't you ranting?" And I said, "D, it's because I didn't want to make it all Trump all the time. And when you remove Trump from the news cycle gets mighty short." Well, guess what? This week, I'm going back. I'm getting on our baby-handed orange idiot-in-chief, because this week he's just outdone himself, okay? Let's start with German cars, okay? The idiot said that Germany is bad. It's very, very bad. They export too many cars here. We're going to stop it. It's bad. You fucking idiot, you. You know what Germany does? They make cars here. BMW, Volkswagen, Mercedes-Benz all manufacture cars in the United States. And they don't just manufacture cars in the United States. BMW's largest plant in the world is in South Carolina. South Carolina, a fucking red state that voted for you, you fucking idiot. Jesus. Does anybody tell this idiot anything before he speaks? BMW manufactures all of their SUVs, the X3, the X4, the X5, the X6, all of them are manufactured in South Carolina and literally exported around the world. They're exporting cars, not to mention the fact that all of the German car makers together make up about 7% of annual U.S. car sales. Yeah, a million and a half cars a year. That's one-fifth of what Ford and GM sell, you idiot. It's because you're hanging around Mar-a-Lago and all you see in the parking lot are BMWs and Mercedes, so you think those are the only cars in the world, you dumb shithead. Jesus, do you know anything? Not only does BMW manufacture so many cars here, and let's not get into talk about how the South has stolen the car industry from the North. That's right. They stole the car industry from Michigan and Ohio and Indiana because they decided to ignore the United Auto Workers Union. So this is why, Trump, you should really love the German car makers, because not only do they build cars in the southern states like South Carolina and Tennessee, states that support you, they do it providing less pay and lower benefits. What more could you want? What could be more down your alley? Okay, they haven't declared bankruptcy and not paid their workers at all. Granted, you'd like that even more, but they're doing their best. And not only that, BMW, okay? BMW technology is used on the America's Cup yacht, the Oracle yacht racing in the America's Cup right now, which, by the way, is absolutely beautiful. I was lucky enough to get a ride on an America's Cup yacht when I was in Bermuda back in January. So I'm just watching it, and it is just a beautiful thing. Is it a sport for the 1%? Hell yeah, of course it is. I ain't competing, but it is a beautiful thing. But getting back to BMW, their technology is helping our boat. They also help design and perhaps build, but definitely help design our bobsleds. Yeah, the American bobsleds used in the Olympics for the American team. How much more American do you want? Now, I don't know why American bobsleds aren't made by General Motors or Ford. It seems to me they damn sure should be, but they're not. They're not. So, fucking idiot. Okay, let's move on. Let's move on from his stupidity to his lies, okay? Let's talk about another promise he made, another one that the Trump supporters fell for, that's total bullshit. Trump's Navy. When Trump was running for office, he talked about, we're going to build up the military. Obama destroyed the military. We're going to make America great again. We're going to make it great again. We're going to build up the Navy. And what other branches were there? Somebody help me with this question. He promised a 350-ship Navy. We now have a 275-ship Navy. You know what we're not going to have? A 350-ship Navy. You know what's not in the budget? A 350-ship Navy. You know why? Because ships cost money. Ships cost a hell of a lot of money and take a long-ass time to build. If you've been on a ship, any kind of ship, you know these things, you don't just slap these things down an assembly line. They take years and billions of dollars to build. Now, you know how many ships we're going to build? We're going to build, in his budget, they're going to build about 8 a year. And you know how big the Navy's going to get? It's going to be about a 308-ship Navy in 4 years, in the 2020s. You know who said that? Barack Obama. Yeah, that's what Navy you're building, Trump. You're building Barack Obama's Navy, you lying bullshit artist and you idiot people who follow him. He's building Barack Obama's Navy. The only way he's going to get up to a 350-ship Navy is if you start counting those little inflatable boats that the Navy SEALs use, which he probably will, and which his followers will say, them true American boat, some bit, I got a little inflatable boat just like that that I use when go out fishing in the lake. I'm in Navy. Fuck. Yeah, I said it. Fuck, there's no, hey, Derek, you asked for this shit. You asked for this shit, so I'm going down the line. Yeah, there goes your 350-ship Navy. Okay, even with stripping Medicare and Social Security, two things he wasn't going to do, but he damn sure did in his budget. Medicaid and Social Security will be hit. Even taking away the money from the sick people, from the poor people, from the old people, from the women, and from the children, he still can't build a 350-ship Navy. Oh, your kid's going to go to a horrible public school, okay? And if you're sick, good luck buying medicine. But there will not be a 350-ship Navy to protect you from the bad, from the Germans who are very bad selling cars. The stupidity, it's like, the way it compounds, I'm not a mathematician. I wish that I'm sure there's a mathematician who can figure out the formula. It's like stupidity squared. And then you just keep adding in factors, and every factor multiplies the stupidity and the bullshit to make it even deeper. It's fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating. But they're still supporting him. They're still, this is our president, okay? Let's move on. What else do we have this week? Well, you probably heard about this story. Everyone heard about this story, apparently, except Donald Trump. Last Friday in Portland, there was a horrible attack, okay? A white supremacist. A white supremacist, ironically named Jeremy Joseph Christian, was on a train in Portland, and he started yelling his racist anti-Muslim rants at two teenage girls. One was wearing a hijab, because, you know, that's how brave they are. They yell at teenage girls on a train about go back to Saudi Arabia or wherever you're from or whatever the hell he was yelling. So some people intervened. Ricky John Best, 53 years old, a military veteran. Taliesin Myerdin Namkhai Mecha, which I'm probably pronouncing that name wrong, and I'm sorry, only 23 years old. Both of them were stabbed by this white supremacist. They both died. And then there was a third victim, Mika Fletcher, who was only 21. He's in the hospital being treated with serious injuries. So these three men intervened when this white supremacist, this Christian white supremacist, was going on a verbal attack of these Muslim teenagers, and they were killed. This happened on Friday. You know what didn't happen? Nothing from Donald Trump. No tweets, no, this is a very bad man, no bullshit, nothing. Nothing. Until finally, today, on Monday, Donald Trump tweeted that the violent attacks in Portland are unacceptable. The victims were standing up to hate and intolerance. Now, you know what he didn't mention? He didn't mention the hate and intolerance came from a white supremacist. He didn't mention that. He didn't mention that that were murders. He didn't call the victims heroes. Now, let's reverse the situation, okay? Let's imagine that a Muslim stabbed three white men protecting a young white girl and killed two of them. Do you think that the tweet would have said, oh, this is unacceptable. This is violent. This is just, no. Such bullshit. Such racist fucking bullshit. I would say it's unbelievable, but it's really not. It's par for the course. It is who they are. It is who they are. It is what they do. Who's they? The right-wing Republicans. This is what they do. They support it. They look on it with a wink and a nod. We've always talked about it. There are Christian terrorists. There are absolutely Christian terrorists. The right-wing hate groups are terrorists, but they won't call them that. They won't. They're like, how come you never say violent Islam? How come you never say Muslim terrorists? How come you never say Christian terrorists? How come you never talk about that? It's unbelievable. Took 3 days to say that it's unacceptable. Oh, he had plenty of time to tweet about fake news and tweet his support for the clown out of out of Nebraska who got elected after beating up a reporter. Greg Gianforte in Montana body slammed a reporter, then started punching him because the reporter asked about the health care, and he asked about the congressional budget score on health care, showing how horrible the Republican health care plan is. Of course, Paul Ryan said it's a great plan because it's only going to strip 23 million people of health care, not the 24 million their original plan was going to strip. So this reporter asked Gianforte, a reporter asked a congressional candidate about the health care plan that his party supports, and his response, beat the hell out of him. Body slam him and start punching him. And you know what the result is? He got elected. He got elected. I'm going to say it one more time. He got elected. You see, this is why I don't buy any of that bullshit from the right wing when they say, why are you picking on us? Why are you making us look bad? Why are you calling us racist and hateful and ignorant? Because you are. Because you are. Yeah, there are some good people. There are some intelligent people, but they're not speaking up and they're not saying this is wrong. They look at it all with a wink and a nod and they're fine with it. So the left, maybe the left needs to step up. Maybe the left needs to start, you know, Democrats probably need to start nominating some fighters. You know what I mean? Just have a Democratic congressional candidate whip a Fox News reporter's ass. And let's see how the coverage goes. Let's see if he gets elected. Let's see if he goes to jail. Yeah, that'd be the ultimate sacrifice because they probably would put him in jail because that would be illegal. But beating up one of them liberal reporters, well, that's just handling the press. Worthless sons of bitches. Okay, sorry, Derek asked for this shit, so I'm just going to keep going. Let's talk about treason. Huh? There's a word we don't hear too often. Treason. Treason, okay? Because we're dealing with it right now, so let's talk about it. Webster's Dictionary defines treason as the offense of attempting by overt acts to overthrow the government of the state to which the offender owes allegiance, or to kill or personally injure the sovereign's family, or, and this is important, adhering to or giving aid and comfort to its enemies by one who owes it allegiance. Okay? Giving comfort to its enemies, helping its enemies. Would that be what it is when Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law and brain and right-hand man and so on and so forth, was actually talking to the Russians to set up a secret back channel for Russian communication with the White House? Okay, let me say that again. He was talking to the Russians about setting up a secret back channel for White House to communicate with Russia. This was going to be done through Russian diplomatic channels. Basically, what he was talking about was having a secret hotline to Russia from the White House. And this was in 2016. This was last year he was talking about. This was in December. Now, treason. That is, if you look at Russia as an enemy, and you better believe that the Republicans called an enemy. Remember St. Reagan? What would St. Reagan say? What would Ronald Reagan say about someone trying to set up a secret, not just set up secret communication with the Russians, but to actually use Russian spy technology to keep it secret from the United States? Okay, that's what they're talking about using Russian diplomatic channels. This from someone much smarter than me, because I was lucky enough to hear Malcolm Nance speak on Saturday, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But he said this would be like in World War II if we got a German coding machine, like, and use that to imagine an American using a German coding machine to communicate with Nazi Germany. That's what we're talking about. They're talking about using Russian technology to talk to Russia to keep it secret from the United States. Now, if Hillary had done this, I'm not sure that the Republicans would be okay with it. If Barack Obama had a secret Kenyan machine to talk to his parents in Kenya, because we know that's where he was born and where he was from, I'm not thinking that the Republicans would be, well, that's okay. You know, if Barack Obama's daughter had a secret, I don't even know how they'd spin it. They're trying to spin it and compare it to Barack Obama, and they can't even make their Obama comparison work. It's such bullshit. So let's talk treason. This White House, okay, I don't know how many more people it's going to take. You've got Sessions, you've got Nunes, now we got Jarrett, you've got everybody in this administration was talking to a Russian, to the point where it's almost becoming a comedy when they're going to find it like, you were talking to him, but I was talking, you know, they promised me. Well, they promised me the same thing. The Russians probably promised the same money to every one of these idiots, okay, because that's what it's about. This is about money. Now, here's the thing. Treason. We don't hear that word enough, but I'm using it. Treason. These guys, and when I say these guys, I mean the Trump administration. I mean Sessions and DeVos and Trump himself. And they want to go back in time, right? They want to go back. Sessions want to go back to the 50s with Reefer Madness. DeVos wants to go back to a time of segregated schools. They always want to go back in time. Let's go all the way back. Let's go all the way back in time. Let's go back to the good old days when people were accused of treason. And you know what they did? They hung them. They hung them from a tree. That was the penalty. Oh, you're working against the government? Yeah, we've got a tree branch. You've got an appointment. Let's go back to that. Huh? That would be some shit. You want to go back in time? Let's quit fucking around. Let's go back in time to where treason was punishable by death. Quickly. Hang your ass. Or a firing squad. You know, that worked too. But no, let's not waste bullets. We got plenty of rope. Okay? And let's get some rope that we buy in Mexico. Yeah, I said it. Let's hang these treasonous bastards with Mexican rope. Just for the sake of irony. And it would be a hell of a good joke. Now, this is where I wanted to talk about Malcolm Nance. And for those who don't know, Malcolm Nance was in the Navy. And basically, Malcolm Nance was a spy. And I'm not saying it. He said, you know, he worked for the Navy intelligence. And he was there under Colin Powell. So he was, and he'll say he was a Colin Powell Republican, that type of Republican, the kind that's progressive and reads books and knows when they're wrong, the kind that they couldn't stand. But anyway, this is who Malcolm Nance was, and I'm sure you've heard him. He's a pundit. He speaks all the time on CNN and MSNBC, and he's been talking a lot about this whole White House-Russia connection and where it comes from and where it started. And I'm gonna try to paraphrase from the notes I took while he was talking, because it was really, really brilliant. Okay, so he talked about this whole White House thing and when it started. He has a thing he calls Nance's Law. And Nance's Law is that coincidence takes a lot of planning. So if you look at these people who are involved, Nunes, Sessions, and so on. This goes back to 2013. Also, the Secretary of State, whose name I'm blanking on, so I'm going to actually look up. I'm back, Tillerson. And you look at these guys and their connections to Russia. It goes back to 2013. And 2013 is when Putin and Putin's people started reaching out to these guys. And it was all about money. It's all about money. The idea, Putin's goal is to get the sanctions dropped, the trade sanctions dropped to get Russia, so Russia can get this oil on the market and make trillions. I think it's a $500 billion deal. And the commission on the $500 billion deal is $19 billion. And that's the kind of money these guys are talking about dividing up. So they were all, so it started back then. And Putin, who knows what he's doing, found people he could take advantage of, that he could influence. He found Nunes, who would take money directly. And Nunes, as Malcolm said, Nunes might have been actually flipped and turned into a spy. And Tillerson, obviously, you know, the CEO of Exxon, easily bought Sessions. You know, you promise money to these guys. And Trump, the leader of the pack, well, with him, it's ego. With him, it's ego. And it was brilliant to listen to Malcolm Nance talk about this and talk about the different ways these guys were influenced and used, and how, you know, Putin wants these aristocracies, or he wants these powerful right-wing leaders all around the country because he knows he can manipulate them. So he's got Trump and he's got one in Turkey. He missed out on France. He missed, and how great was the handshake? How great was the handshake when he squished Trump's little hand, and poor little Trump, little-handed bastard. But anyway, I'm getting off topic. Malcolm Nance talked about how this worked and how it's all coming together, but he also talked about the big problem that they're going to have. He said the big problem they're going to have is this guy, Robert Mueller, from the ex-FBI director, who is now involved in this investigation. And the reason is that Mueller is a badass, and the FBI Counterintelligence Division is now conducting this investigation. And as Malcolm Nance explained, the Counterintelligence Division, these are the guys that the CIA goes to investigate spies. Like when the CIA is like, look, we think one of ours has turned, will you do the investigate? These are guys, they don't stop, and there's no secret you could keep from them. They can go. This guy, Mueller, came out of retirement. You know why? Because the FBI is mad at Trump. Because what they did to Comey pissed off the FBI. And this is a group you don't want to piss off. So Malcolm Nance says, well, it's going to take them some time, but this is going to, they're going to blow this up. And I hope he's right. I hope he's right. And this man knows what he's talking about. I also heard from Maxine Waters. And again, another person who's speaking out, speaking the truth, and not too many Democrats are afraid to say something. And she's not afraid to use words like treason and impeach and take away Kushner's clearance. He shouldn't be allowed in government secrets and government meetings when he's even suspected of setting up back channels with Russia. She spoke out, he spoke out, and it was a beautiful thing. Yeah, of course it was a liberal elite event, but, you know, we got to meet somewhere, right? These are very smart people, and they follow Malcolm Nance, follow him on Twitter, and when you get a chance to read anything he has to say, read it, because this man knows what he's talking about. He was there, he was inside on levels I can't even imagine. And, you know, again, the thing about this presidency is so much of it, we're in uncharted territory. We've never had anyone this, first of all, incompetent, but now we're finding out corrupt and criminal. It's amazing. So, yeah, Boehner, okay? Boehner, you remember John Boehner? Used to be Speaker of the House, used to be the man for the Republicans. Even he said that straight out, he just said that I'm looking for it. Trump has been a complete disaster. Those are the words he used. That Donald Trump's presidency has been a complete disaster. Okay. In the beginning, he said, well, the job's difficult. It's going to take Trump time. Now he's done. Now he's done. It's just a complete disaster is how he described it. Guess what, Mr. Boehner? We knew that. We saw that. So that's enough of that. Okay. It's I'm done. Derek, I'm done. Is this long enough? Because I still got a few other things to get on. This racist shit is continuing. And again, it's the wink and a nod. So, but they don't even, it's not even a wink and a nod. It's just blatant and outright. So a new law in Alabama was written to protect Confederate monuments. Yeah, every other state, I mean, South Carolina takes down the flag, Louisiana, all through New Orleans, they're taking down Confederate monuments. So what does Alabama do? The Alabama Memorial Preservation Act of 2017 disallows removing or renaming any memorial, streets, or buildings on public property that have been in place for 40 or more years. Those monuments include blah, blah, blah. It's about keeping their rich Southern tradition of the Confederacy, a.k.a. public monuments to racism. That's why I say fuck them. You're full of shit when you say that they're trying to progress, that they're trying to, that they care. No, when you pass a law to protect Confederate monuments, you're full of shit. Let's continue. Let's add some more racism since we're on a roll. The Indy 500 was won by Takuma Sato, the first Japanese driver to win the Indy 500. Now, as a comic, be easy to do the hacky, wow, an Asian driver won the Indy 500 and do a bunch of jokes about Asian drivers and stuff. Eh, but we didn't. We because it's hacky. However, someone did have something to say. A reporter, Terry Frey, from the Denver Post, formerly of the Denver Post, said nothing specifically personal, because it's never personal with them. They don't mean anything by it, just saying. Nothing specifically personal, but I'm very uncomfortable with a Japanese driver winning the Indy 500 during Memorial Day weekend. Yeah, he tweeted that on Sunday. Well, guess what, Terry? You no longer need to be uncomfortable with it because you're out of work. You got fired on Monday. You know why? Because you're an asshole. That's an asshole thing to say. How about saying something like, wow, hasn't America progressed since World War II when we were at war with Japan for a Japanese driver to win our Indy 500, the greatest American race? Doesn't that show progress? Doesn't that show progress? It's unacceptable to you, Terry? Well, guess what? You're unacceptable to us, and now you are out of work, asshole. Tiger Woods arrested for a DUI. Tiger, I still love you. But man, it's getting serious. So here's what you're going to have to do, Tiger. Now, you did the rehab thing, all right? You claimed sex addict, and you did rehab. Now you got a DUI. There's meds involved. Maybe you're on some kind of pills. You need Jesus, Tiger. You're going to have to find Jesus. It's your only hope. It's your only hope at this point. Now, listen, I know most guys don't find Jesus till they get in prison. But, Tiger, you wouldn't do well in prison. You might want to find Jesus now. You're not an NFL player. You're a golfer. You were a big, strong golfer. Now you're a middle-aged golfer with a bad back. I still love you, Tiger. I still think you were second greatest ever and the greatest golfer in the world for at least 10 years. What you did was amazing. And one of my true sports regrets is never having seen Tiger play golf in his prime. I'll always regret having missed that. But Tiger, you need Jesus. That's your only hope. Yeah, figure it out. Make the claim. Show penance. And good luck. And finally, and this is sad. This is 2 weeks in a row that I got to give a rest in peace to someone who is brilliant and on, because words can't really describe this guy. Frank DeFord is a sports writer. He wrote for Sports Illustrated. And to say he was a sports writer is such an understatement, because he was such a brilliant writer and storyteller. He died at the age of 78. When he wrote sports, like, you didn't have to be a sports fan for a Frank DeFord article. you didn't have to know anything about sports because he wrote beautiful. It was descriptive, and he caught the emotion of sports and just everything that's great about it. He was able to put in the words. So rest in peace, Frank, and thank you for your stories. And if you don't know who I'm talking about, Google him and read something he wrote. Just read one of his stories about sport. He was also on Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel and did some great stories for HBO. But he's a writer. He was a man of words and a brilliant man of words. So rest in peace, Frank DeFord, and thank you for what you've given us. And thank you guys for listening. I am heading to Chuckles. Yeah, a comedy club. It's actually named Chuckles. It's in Memphis, Tennessee. I've never been there. Don't know what to expect. But let's have some fun down in Memphis. It's going to be a great weekend. I thank you for listening. I love you. This is Alonzo asking, who's paying attention? You are. Thank you.